Well, it's 2015, so we're doing our annual stock pick session, looking at the stocks you should be watching for this year, as told to us by our commentators. Simon Brown is with Just One Lap and joins us now. Simon, thanks so much for your time today. Firstly, before you tell us what your stock picks are, what were your criteria for picking them?
Evening, Siki. I mean, I'm looking for a couple of things. And I mean, first disclaimer is obviously I hold all of them, as I wouldn't be recommending them. I'm looking for companies that have got strong track records, that have proved that they know what they're doing and how they plan to do it, but also that I think have got something in the future in 2015, which is going to really spur them on, give them an extra kicker in a sense, in terms of moving the share price. And I've got a list of three. Mm-hmm. Two of them definitely fall into it. And then the one the sort of my high-risk flyer one, which is either going to embarrass me or make me slightly famous.
As we all must have. We must have a bit Absolutely. Of a high flyer on the side that we can watch throughout the year. All right, so let's start with number one. And you've picked Calgo M3.
Yeah, so Calgo M3, run by a guy called Ben Peel Mohuba. What they do is they build low-cost houses. Now, it's not always low-cost. They can build mid-LSM. They can even go to high LSM. But they build entire townships. In other words, they lay the services. They'll build the police stations, the clinics, the schools, and everything that goes with it. And the beauty of it is this is not those horrible 4x4 RDP houses which sprung up in the 90s.
Yeah.
These are proper houses. They're the real McCoy. And they're different to each other. So they're building proper communities. Houses are well-priced. And the two key kickers is that they don't build the house until the buyer has secured funding, whether that be via the state, whether that be via a bank loan. They don't do a thing in terms of building the house until the buyer's confirmed.
Okay, what do you think is going to be in their favor, though? Because we've got, for example, on the one hand, on the financing side with the banks that are a little bit more reticent about giving it out, and a government that's low on cash at the moment.
Government's low on cash. Banks are lending to a degree in this space. So the two key kickers is they've done a lot of what you call the bottom structure, and it's laying the infrastructure. And that's cost them some money and the like. They've now got all of their roads and their pipes and everything else in place. They've got an order book because in some cases, for example, a project they're doing in Namibia, the government has called them in. They're doing a project with Esol, which they're partnering there as well. In essence, they're now selling the easy money part of the equation. And what they have found is humongous demand. They certainly, even notwithstanding, banks a little bit more reticent, there's still enough people qualifying for loans. Numbers out of Barclays a year or two ago suggesting that there's easily a million homes that need to be built in this country for people who are not living in traditional houses at this point. So the demand is definitely there. They've got an order book which is in the region of 15 billion, and they typically only do about, in the past couple of years, a billion or two of revenue. So they're well positioned to start leveraging on having put all that infrastructure in place.
Now, your second pick is Steinhoff, which, of course, in 2014 did its biggest deal ever.
Yeah, and I have to be honest, you know, 5 years ago, I would have laughed at anyone who picked Steinhoff. I didn't understand it. They had too much debt. It was murky. But they've really cleaned themselves up. They've got rid of debt by that accelerated book build and a rights issue a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
The Pepco deal really works. What are they doing? They're saying we're targeting low LSM to a degree in Western Europe, but also in Eastern Europe. Pepco's got stores already in places such as Poland. Obviously, it's a huge footprint in South Africa. I'm not convinced they want to keep the South African assets. I can't help thinking that they might actually in time spin off South Africa, which would include the CAP brand, which would include the JD Group brands as well, which they have. But certainly we now see what their strategy is, and that is saying we're going to sell stuff to the lower LSMs, whether it be clothing, whether it be airtime, whether it be furniture, that is going to be their focus. Frankfurt listing coming probably March or April. That's going to give them a good boost in that regard. They've got a really good underpinning of solid property, and the stock has done well. It certainly moved, but I think even now at these sort of high 50s, low 60s, I think it's still a stock that's got great potential for the new year.
So your black swan, can I call it that? May just be Sasol. Why?
It's going to be Sasol because, short answer, this planet runs on oil. That's it. End of story. We need oil. We have to have it. Their earnings are going to take a massive dive. They're going to do 30, maybe 35 rand a share for the next financial year, depending where oil goes. Heck, you know, oil might go sub 60. It might even go down into the low 50s. I'm not saying I know where oil goes. I just understand, I sense what the game that OPEC is playing. OPEC is saying what we're going for is market share. So the reason they didn't cut production, which would have pushed the price, was they want the price lower because that shakes out what we would call the weak hands, the guys who are producing at 100, 110, even 130 or $40 a barrel.
Yeah.
In other words, remove capacity that way. That's a longer term game. That's not going to happen in a hurry. That's going to happen over the next 1, 2, or 3 years. As we see American economy continue to grow and that's doing fairly well, that'll increase demand. So the oil price is going to have a tough 2015. But I think we're going to look back at these prices of around 400.
Yeah.
And who knows how low Sasol goes. Might go to 350. Hey, it might even go to 300. Touch wood, it doesn't.
Mm.
But I think we're going to look back at these prices in years to come and think there was a brilliant opportunity, a great story to tell your grandchildren about when I bought Sasol in the 300s.
You know I'm going to hold you to this, right?
I know you are. I know. Let's go big or go home.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks for your time. Simon Brown is with Just One Life.